You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Rome. This picture behind me is a street in Rome where Joy and I were, and we took a picture, and that happy face down at the end that you can see is real. It was really on the wall down there, upside down. And so that's just what I decided to use for a background today. I'm not actually in Rome at this moment, but I was standing there taking this picture. Today, we're going to do something different, something we've never done before on any of the shows. And we're over a year this time. And last time I was on Sam's show, it was a year and a half, several years ago. Anyway, I'm going to do a Q&A. I've been thinking, I coach. You know, I'm a coach. You know that my mission is to help 250 million people discover who they really are and then be able to create from that infinite possibility. The way I think about it is every superhero has like an origin story, right? And at some point they have to come to terms with the fact that they have like powers, abilities. One of the funny things we're watching one of the Disney movies, it's really old, was The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes. And that's a film, very young Kurt Russell is the kid, and he gets zapped, and suddenly he's a computer whiz, right? Not a computer whiz, but he's like a computer. And at first, he's so full of himself that he alienates all of his friends. And then very quickly, he realizes that his friends are the only real things he's got. That's only the first third of the movie. That unveiling is what I mean when I say learn who you really are. Now, if you sit quietly for yourself, by yourself, and you think, ask this question, are you living up to your full potential? How about 90%? How about 80%? How about 50%? Like, we've all heard those things that say we only use some fraction of our brain power. And then I've read other things that say, no, that's not true. I'm not going to argue one side or the other. But I know right now that if you're honest with yourself, you're not living up to your full potential, and you know it. And when we think about, quote, living up to our full potential, oh, it feels heavy, hard, like I can never do that. It's too much work, right? It's not fun. Well, maybe and maybe not. But today, I'm going to put the ultimate life right above the thing so you can see the URL. Because I want you to go there, www.yourultimatelife.ca, and get the stuff I have for you. It doesn't cost anything. Although if you don't spend the time and energy, it won't do anything for you. Anyway, I'm a coach. My mission this year, between now and October coming up, so 7 months and a half, is to help 250 million people, to reach 250 million people with the message. You're living below your capabilities. You have far more available to you right now, right here, if you want to take it. It's not easy. It's not going to come in an Amazon box. It's available to you. Anyway, that's the message I have. That's why I'm on this show. That's why I have my podcast. I just recorded episode 851 or 2 or 3 or 4 or whatever the other day. And so there we are. We'll get to 900 in a little while, by the end of the year maybe. And, you know, we're going to go on. It's also called Your Ultimate Life. And if you're a podcast person, go there. Unless you don't like motivation and encouragement. I have some great guests on there, like I do on here. And we're going to get back to having some guests in a few weeks. But right now, I wanted to have some solo shows because I wanted to talk about something serious. And here's how I picked the topic tonight. Tonight, it's Q&A. Because I am on hundreds of shows. I've been on, I don't know, not 1,000 shows yet, but many hundreds of other people's shows, not to mention my own. And it's always the same topic. Sometimes we come at it from a different way. I've written a lot of books, so sometimes people ask me, why do I write so many books? Sometimes people ask me about when I died in 2018, 5.5 years ago, I had a near-death experience and died and made a conscious, intentional choice in conversation with God to stay here and not go home. And that was a powerful turning point in my life. But that isn't the thing that gave me the mission that I have. It simply affirmed it. It made me know I was on the right track and I had a whole lot more to do and a lot more opportunity. And that's why I do what I do, is to help you, each one of you, realize you're 100 times cooler than you think you are. You're 100 times more powerful, 100 times more valuable, 100 times more precious than you think you are. So that's the work that I do. And a coach, if you think athletics, right? A coach is a person who encourages the team, gets the right trainers so they can work on skills and things. But the main job of a coach is to see what's going on and give the right advice and make the right move so the team is successful. And that's what an athletic coach is. That's what a vocal coach does. I have had a vocal coach for many years. In fact, just earlier today, I had a session with my vocal coach. And we're working on some performances that I'm getting ready to do. So a coach is a person who's there to watch you and give you encouragement and help to get to your next podium faster, whether it's the Olympics, a stage, learning to speak, giving a TEDx talk, writing a book, creating more money, getting a promotion at work. All of those situations can benefit from coaching. What coaching can't do is make you do something you don't want to do. Coaching isn't going to do the push-ups for you. You got to do them yourself every time, all the time, no matter what. In the process, so this is a little intro, in the process of talking to people, and I talk to just tons of new people every week, I organize my life to do that. I meet people I have never, ever talked to every week, several, sometimes four or five, and sometimes 50 or 60. Why do I do that? Because I'm trying to reach 250 million people. I'm trying to serve. It isn't, and this might be different than some, but it's not about money. I'm not interested in people's money. Although when people coach, they pay a lot. And the reason they do is not because I'm working for money. It's because when you have paid a lot of money, you're invested. Like someone that pays a lot for a car, they take care of it. They wash it. They protect it. Watch where they park and all the rest. When you've invested a lot of money in your growth, then you pay attention. Free stuff doesn't get used. I used to do that a lot. Lots of free coaching. And you know what? Very little in terms of results. Now that I charge a bunch, lots of results, powerful work, growth, et cetera, et cetera. So let's talk about questions. In the process of talking to all those people that I do every single week, I get people that ask questions. How do I do this? How do I do that? Why can't I do this? Why is this so hard? What do I need to do to find this or to get over that problem? I hear that all the time. So what I prepared for you today is a list of 10 questions that I get all the time. They're very common, and I'm going to give you answers. Now, before I do that, I'm not going to say that these answers are right. I'm not going to claim I'm giving you advice about what you should do, because you and you alone decide that. You are the sovereign creator of your life. So the answers that I'm giving don't constitute medical, legal, or any other kind of advice. What they are is battle-tested stories and principles that I have used and seen others use that work. I'm sharing them with you in that way. Not to say that other people don't have other advice. I don't even care. This is what I know, what I've seen, and what I use. All right, so let's get on it. Question number one, how do I find my gift or my passion? I have so many people who say, I just don't really know what I'm passionate about. I don't really know what I want to do when I grow up. That's the joke, right? I talked to somebody the other day, a fabulous woman who's about adding good to the world in great ways. She's a coach, but she coaches women who have gone through difficult, high-conflict divorces, and she has a long history of lots of experience that makes her really good at that. And it's funny because she's one of the people I met last week, and she said to me, you know, I think I finally found what I want to do when I grow up. And she told me she was 60. So there you go. Here's what I know about finding your, quote, passion. There's a book written by Janet Atwood called The Passion Test. And she has a particular set of questions and things to answer the question, finding your passion, what is your passion? And at the event that I was at many years ago, probably 9 or 10 years ago, she was a speaker. And she asked for a volunteer to come up on stage. Now, there were 600 or 700 people in the room. It's a large event. And so she asked for a volunteer, and I raised my hand along with other people. and I got chosen, whatever reason, right? So up on the stage I go, and she went through this series of questions, and it really mainly had to do with you, getting you to think about what you absolutely could not live without. What you absolutely cannot give up was the key metric, because what you absolutely have to have, and thinking about it in terms of giving it up, that is a good guide toward that. Anyway, I'm not going to repeat her method. You can read the book if you want. How do you find your passion? Well, I'll tell you how you can find it. Number one, you have to spend some time quiet and alone. You have to spend some time in meditation. And you can figure out what that means. I've written some books on it. There's a million YouTube videos. But it really just means sitting quietly with yourself. Create time to sit quietly with yourself with no noise, no TV, no distractions, no phone, no nothing. And just be. And when you've gotten calm enough, you can start to feel things. If you make that a regular practice, you'll get ideas. Ideas that sort of draw you in. That's one piece of it. Another piece of finding your passion is to serve. We are built as human beings to love and serve each other. Our chemistry feels good. You know, we feel good when we're part of a, you know, a service project and that kind of stuff. So you cannot wait for your passion to come in an Amazon box or from FedEx. It isn't going to suddenly hit you. Ah, there it is. Even this lady I just talked to, she said she, after doing this work she has for a while, she realized this was really the thing that lit her up. Before she did that, she'd done several other things that were related as a mediator and some other things. But she was about serving. She was about adding good to the world. So if you spend time regularly with yourself, if you are actively engaged in service of all kinds, what does that mean? That means extra stuff at work. That means getting involved in your community or your church or whatever, you know, our arts council or whatever it is that draws you in. All those things will give you a clue, ideas, and thoughts about finding it. I have a whole program that's centered around a triple helix, using your existing skills, the stuff you've been selling in the marketplace for a job, your natural gifts, you know, the gifts that you have, things you're naturally good at, and your life experience, especially those things that have beat the crap out of you, what you've learned from those. There's three places. What are your existing skills? What are your natural gifts? And what are your life experiences? What is all that together taught you? There's another place to look in that. I call it the triple helix, because if you can marry your skills and your gifts and your life experience, then you're going to be right on the money. So get into service. Spend time alone in meditation, just thinking and feeling into the question. Explore the pieces of your triple helix. So those are activities to find your passion. But at the end of the day, you got to pick. You have to choose your passion, your excitement. And you know what? You're going to pick wrong. That's okay. Get over it. So you pick wrong and you dive into it. And then you make adjustments and you make adjustments and you don't worry about, oh, I wasted time and money. Who cares? This is the life process. So live your life, serve, learn to meditate, examine your skills, gifts, and life experience, and then just make some choices. I had a client who spent a year fussing about not wasting time and making the wrong choice and spent a year doing that. Wow. There was some time lost there. Now, if it ultimately leads to the passion, which in his case it did, then that's fine. But you have to choose. You have to be willing to take responsibility. So that is how I help my clients and people I work with find that thing that lights them up, where they can add good to the world, make money, make an impact, and have fun. That's number one. Number two, I get asked this all the time. Is a morning ritual important? Well, it's like the kid who asks his dad, do I need to brush my teeth? And the dad said, only the ones you want to keep. No, you don't have to have a morning ritual. Is it important? Only if you want to be your best self. Only if you want to get the most done. Only if you want to have the most fun in your life. Only if you want to be a powerhouse. Only if you want to live into your passion. Only if you want to make a difference, make money, and all the rest. Then you need one. Yes, you absolutely need to have it. Now let's examine this. You all know people that excel in one thing or another. Sports, arts, music, kindness, service, whatever it is. People that just stand above. Those kind of people, the artists, the sports people, they don't warm up for their event after the game. Think about it. I've performed a ton. I don't warm up my voice after I sing. I warm up before. The athlete doesn't warm up after the game before. The pianist doesn't warm up their fingers after the concert. They warm up before. So having a morning ritual is warming up for the day. It is affirming your choices. It is honoring your body, your spirit, everything. It is an intentional process to make you the best you can be every day. And why would you want to go out any day half-assed? I don't have time. I can promise you something right here, right now. The time you think you are using up or wasting doing that morning ritual you don't have time for, it will triple the amount of time you have available in the day. You know how? You make less mistakes, decisions are quicker, you feel better, you're more confident, you're more capable, and you're more creative. Period. Why? Because you warmed up. Now, if you want to learn how to create that, then we'll go to the next question. Okay, you've convinced me, Kellen. How do I create a morning ritual? Well, there's a ton of ways out there. The book 5 a.m. Miracle and my own book called Living with Purpose and Power. Living with Purpose and Power. I teach everything I know about rituals and about why they work and why they're important and how to make them work. And I'll give you something right now. I use the acronym SPEM, Spiritual, Physical, Emotional, Mental, S-P-E-M. When I teach clients, and I'm telling you right now what I give, my very high-end, expensive clients, I tell you, get up in the morning with 40 minutes. Set aside 40 minutes where you're not going to do anything. No news, no phone, no breakfast, no nothing. And spend 10 minutes in each of those four areas, spiritual, physical, emotional, mental. Spiritual is meditation or reading or prayer, sacred literature, that kind of stuff. Something to connect with the larger thing, larger universe, the divine. P is physical. Just stretch, yoga, martial arts stretches, gymnastics, those kinds of things. Pay honor to your body, even if you're going to work out later. This is about creating blood flow and wakefulness and vibrancy in your life. E is emotional. S-P-E-M, that is your relationships. Send 5 love notes. Take 10 minutes and send 5 notes of appreciation, kindness, love, encouragement to somebody in your phone, period. Or repair, if something's busted, repair attempt. Send a message of apology or repair or invitation or reconciliation. But make 5 moves to enhance your relationship. M is mental. Read a chapter in a book. It is designed to stretch your mind and grow your intellect. I have about 30 books sitting over there that I'm in the middle of all the time. And I read, doesn't matter. They're all books that are not relaxed books, they're books to learn. There's a morning ritual. Start with that. And don't say, well, I'll think about it and I'll figure out something. No, you won't. You will talk about it, you'll pretend, but you won't actually do it. And it won't do jack for you unless, of course, you do it. Yay. So start with that. S-P-E-M, spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, 10 minutes each. And change the things up that you do until you feel good afterwards. Yeah, that was good. Because that feeling good is the thing that makes you not skip. You don't skip something that makes you feel good. You only skip it when it's a drudge. Well, tweak it till it isn't. All right, question number 4. This is a good one. Why do I feel resistance when I'm trying to do something new or big? You've all set resolutions, goals, those kinds of things. And you're trying to do something new. You're trying to do something big, some piece of improvement. And as soon as you say to yourself, I should do that. I better get busy and, you know, whatever. there's all this resistance that comes up. Oh, I don't want to. I can't. I don't have time. I can't afford it. It'll probably cost money. It'll make me, it'll probably fail anyway. All of that sort of noise comes up the minute you want to do something. You know why? I want you to think, when I speak at seminars, one of the speeches I give is a speech about gravity. And no, I'm not talking about the universal constant of gravitation or that thing that makes us stick to the ground. Although that's where it starts. Gravity is a physical law, right? It's what holds the, stuff on the Earth and keeps things in orbit and everything else. So we love it. We depend on it. If I'm trying to get in shape and I go to the gym, that 100-pound barbell better weigh the same every time, right? If one time it weighed 5 pounds, whoop! If another time it weighed 1,000 pounds, you couldn't make any plans. The Earth would fall apart. In the gym, they call that the truth of the iron. It is what it is. Okay, so you know that. That's not news. You know what else there is? There is an energetic or spiritual equivalent. I call it spiritual gravity or resistance. When you're trying to grow physically, you work against gravity to build your muscles. Whether you're running or biking or lifting or whatever it is, you work against that resistance. When you're trying to improve your heart, your life, your attitude, your mindset, or anything else, it is exactly the same principle. That feeling of resistance is energetic gravity, if you will. Someone called it once habit gravity. Your habits have gravity, the same kind of attraction. You're used to a thing. Moving that thing, doing a new thing is hard. That is energetic resistance. Some people say, well, why is the universe conspiring against me? It's not. In fact, what I've learned is extreme gratitude for that gravity, because without it, there's no growth. So next time you feel resistance to some change you want to make in your life and your heart, thank your lucky stars, because that means you're doing a good thing, you're pushing against resistance, and you get stronger. It's not going to go away. The nature of what you're trying to do doesn't change, but your ability to do it does. Your commitment to do it does. That's why I said about morning rituals, if you create a morning ritual that makes you feel good afterwards, physically alive, mentally alert, you learned something, you sent some kind words in your relationship section, you want to do it. Why? Because it feels good. So when you are growing energetically or spiritually or emotionally inside, when you're growing, that progress feels good. So understand that that resistance is normal. Everybody feels it. Without it, you wouldn't grow, and it's a sign of progress. So that's why it feels like resistance, because it is, and it's necessary, good, and important. All right, question number 5. Is forgiveness important? And if it is, why? I get that a lot. Now, I'm actually surprised. One of the books I wrote is called Forgiveness, A Journey of Courage to a Place of Freedom and Power. That book, I like all my books, I wrote it because I needed those principles. I needed to learn. I had a ton, and what felt to me like an infinite ton of forgiveness needed for myself, for mistakes and things that I'd done, for others, for things that I felt, where I'd been wronged, etc. Is forgiveness important? Again, I'll answer it kind of like the tooth thing. Only if you want to live your best life. Only if you want to be free. Only if you want to have perpetual joy. Only if you want to eliminate anger. If you enjoy living in anger or fear or frustration or resentment or the negativity of seeking revenge, no, you don't need it. How many movies have you seen or books have you read where somebody does something wrong, maybe even something horrible, and the son or the daughter or the husband or the wife vows justice or vengeance or something? And maybe a year or two or 10, they chase the person, all trying to make them pay. And it goes through the movie, sometimes the whole movie. And finally, near the end, they catch him, right? And then they shoot him or do something, you know, revenge. They get the revenge. And the very next scene has the person who got their revenge saying to their compadre, friend, helper, I thought it would feel better, but I don't. It doesn't change anything. You know why? Because it doesn't, vengeance doesn't fix the wrong. It doesn't fix the abuse. It doesn't fix what happened. The only thing that can fix what happened is forgiveness. I can already hear the howling. I don't mean pretending things didn't happen. If you, like me, have been damaged emotionally by traumatic incidents in your life, like me, you may need to seek all kinds of help. I have had tons of help, you know, shrinks and coaches and all kinds of stuff. And do you know when my pain left? When I chose to no longer let events of the past have power in the present. That is the definition of forgiveness. It is not pretending away something wrong someone did. It is not pretending away something wrong you did. It's not pretending anything. It's not ignoring that something happened. It's not sweeping stuff under the rug. It's not putting yourself in a dangerous situation. It is making a pure and conscious choice to allow justice to be in the hands that it belongs in, either the law system, if that's appropriate, or God, if that's appropriate, and then unburden your soul, heart, anger, everything else with forgiveness. Let it go. Let it go towards yourself. I don't care what you did. My most popular YouTube video is how to forgive yourself when you've hurt someone. And I thousands and tens of thousands of views and comments. Most of them, you know what they are? There's someone saying, oh, I can never forgive myself because I was unfaithful or, you know, to my girlfriend, boyfriend, partner, wife, husband, whatever. That's the majority, not all of them. You're right. You can't fix that. You can't. You have hurt someone. But behold the underlying truth. That's what BUT stands for. Behold the underlying truth. If you carry that guilt for 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, the rest of your life, all you're doing is drinking poison and killing yourself. You're limiting your ability to serve. You're limiting your ability to add good to the world. You're carrying around rocks for nothing. Your guilt and shame doesn't fix the other person. So you do what you can in every situation to make amends. You return something, you apologize, you do whatever it is. But most of the time, those serious things, you can't fix them anyway. Someone was angry, someone was hurt, someone was betrayed. You can't undo that. And all that happens when you carry the lack of forgiveness forward is you carry the power of the mistake. Period. So yes, if you want to live your ultimate life, forgiveness is absolutely essential, critical. Forgiving yourself. Forgiving others. That's so important. That's why I wrote the book, because I needed to learn those things. And so in my morning ritual, one of my statements that I remind myself of every morning is I am forgiveness. I carry no judgment, anger, or loathing toward anyone for anything, including myself. And that means I live completely free with no burden at all, which makes me able to love and serve those I talk to, clients, friends, people, in ways that I couldn't dream of doing if I didn't. Okay. Number six, how do I get motivated? Well, like finding your passion, motivation is from inside. It's not going to come in a pill. You can buy caffeine pills and speed and other things that'll get you physically wound up. And so you might move around a lot. Motivation is a true desire to create an outcome. a desire to create an outcome that is so strong that you keep at it and keep at it and keep at it until you get the outcome. Whether there are setbacks or failures or you fall on your face or you get, you know, negative things happen or people discourage you or they tell you you're full of crap. All of that can be overcome by motivation. Now, where does it come from? Lots of reasons, and we'll do them backwards. We'll save the most powerful for last. Money is a motivator. Greed is a motivator. Looking good is a motivator. Proving something to someone is a motivator. All those things can fire up people to do good. All of them also have poison pills in them. You see that because how many wealthy people do you know? I used to be one of those, wealthy and did stupid things, wasted money, addictions, and all the others, all the other stuff that goes with it. So money isn't the thing. Thinking I need more money can motivate us to get up, go to work, look for a better job, go to school, get another degree, take a class, take a course, et cetera, et cetera. But what we'll be missing every time is if you don't have a larger purpose. Now, I summarize my larger purpose with a simple phrase, add good to the world. Add good to the world. That's why I'm reaching 250 million people. That's why I'm telling you all this stuff. I want to add good to the world. There's plenty of people that are cynical, negative, critical, angry, blaming, shouting names. I live in Canada, but my wife and I are dual citizens, U.S.-Canadian, and so we're certainly watching, you know, the election and all the vitriol and negative stuff. How much does that add to the debate? How much does that add to your wallet, to the safety of the country, to solving the economy, to fixing the wars in Ukraine and Israel and wherever else they are? Nothing. Nothing. It adds exactly nothing. So how you get motivated in the ultimate sense, I gave you a whole bunch of things, money, power, position, what I look like, all that stuff can motivate people. But those things are temporary. The one thing that motivates more powerfully than anything else and lasts longer than anything else is love. Love is invincible. It is the foundation of everything. The creation of all things was founded and created with love. Love is what? It's not just that fluttery feeling. Love is a choice that you or I make to help someone, to serve them. Now, I have a formal definition I use. I say love is a verb. It's a choice to use your spiritual, physical, emotional, and mental resources to serve someone. And yes, I use the same four letters that I used in the morning ritual. But it's a choice to use what I've got to serve you. Right now, I'm using my time, my energy, my thinking, my experience in an effort that I hope blesses your life. I'd love to know if you heard something here that motivated you, that made you feel better, that made you have more hope for your greatness, because you are great, powerful, divine, wonderful. I'd love to know. I'd love to connect with you. Anyone that wants to talk, you're invited. Reach out to me on social or some other way, and let's chat. Like I said, I love meeting people. Many, every single week, besides the guests that I interview and the prospects that I find, just people, everybody. I have learned to love people. That love has provided motivation. It is the thing that motivates me to do what I do every day. The songs I write, got lots of those. The books I write, lots of those. The videos I make, places I go speak, all of it comes because I love you. So that's how you create motivation. Learn to love. Make a choice to use your resources to lift, bless, and serve others. Number 7. Now, this one's funny. I keep going to seminars and buying coaching and other programs, and it never works. Why? I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people and say, yeah, I bought this and I bought that, and you know, I didn't really do anything, didn't really work. There's one main reason that's true. The main reason that's true has nothing to do with the program. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's selling, you know, there aren't crooks and shysters. Of course there are. But 90 plus percent of people who buy programs and coaching and all that stuff fail because they don't do the work. What people are looking for is the easy button. I want to pay you some money, and I want you to give me a foolproof step-by-step method that's guaranteed to work, that I don't have to worry about failing, getting, being embarrassed, and I don't have to work too hard. That's what we really mean when we say it needs to work. Well, there's no such thing. That's like saying I'm going to pay you some money to a gym owner and you're going to spit me out the other side buff and ready for a competition. Yeah, we skipped the steps of the 9,000 trips to the gym and all the reps and eating and healthy and sleeping, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, you skipped those. Personal development, building a business, being an entrepreneur, creating money online, being a speaker, being a coach, teaching something, it's all exactly the same. Excellence requires effort. If you're going to climb the mountain of excellence, you're going to climb, period. So when someone says to me, I bought all this stuff and it didn't work, my first question is, well, give me an example. And they'll tell me a program they bought. 90% of the time, not always, but about 9 out of 10, I know the person or know of them, and I've seen the material. When I started my own journey 16 and a half years ago, I bought every program in sight. Not everyone, but lots and lots of them. So I've seen lots of the material, and I've seen lots of recent material because I make it my business. I speak at a lot of conferences, and I know a lot of folks. So I know the material is good. What happens is people give you, sell you, every step that they took to create a certain outcome. Well, I can promise you it won't work for you. You're different. Your outcome is different. You're a different person. Your circumstances are different. And that's true even if they withheld exactly nothing and gave you every single thing they could give you. The work, adaptation, making it work in your circumstance, that is key. So the idea that I bought all this stuff and it doesn't work is just nonsense. Nonsense. If it doesn't work, it's almost always because you did not do the work. Now, if you're offended, I'm sorry. It's funny because when I ask that question, give me an example. They say, well, I bought this. And I usually know what it is or about it. And then I ask, well, did you apply yourself? Did you go to all the classes? Did you do the homework? Did you bust your ass and do the stuff? Well, not really. It was not what I thought. It was harder than I wanted. Here's a secret for you. Anything, when you're talking, listen to yourself. Anytime you say the word, well, you can just ignore everything that comes after that because it's bullshit. Whether it comes out of your mouth or anybody else's. Well, and then that train of nonsense that comes out later is just excuses and nonsense. Now, setting the crooks aside, most of the products and services are sincerely offered and will do what they promise, provided you do the work, you put in the time, and you create the results with your own blood, sweat, and tears. Question number 8. It always feels like everything's against me. Why is that? Well, this goes back to the spiritual gravity we talked about earlier. There is no question that you personally right now have had or perhaps are having major setbacks. I read a study several times that said that in a given sample, and I think the sample was in North America, but I think it's probably true worldwide, in a given sample of people, random sample, at least minimum 50% or more are having a serious problem right now, a health challenge, a relationship challenge, a financial challenge, bankruptcy, severe illness, divorce, kids that are in trouble or on drugs or with mental health issues or, you know, some major thing, not minor inconvenience. So number one, that's happening. That's happening to at least 50% of people at any time, all the time. That's just because life is like that. Stuff happens all the time. Your computer breaks and you need it to finish a report. And, you know, anywhere from little things, annoyances, flat tire to whatever, medium-sized things to seeming catastrophes. They happen all the time. So, number one, when you say, it always feels like everything's against me, just understand that 50% of the time you're going to be contending with some major thing. You just are. Okay. So that's out of the way. The second thing is, even when those things are happening, and especially when they're not happening, the most important tool you have is your attitude, your beingness, your focus. If I or you run around and think the world's conspiring against me, it sucks, I'm angry, how come it all happens to me, I'm a victim, you're dead. Because everything will feel like that, and everything will feel like it's against you, and you'll make no progress. It's like that old story about the pile of horse poop, and one kid ran in there and said, ew, there's a pile of horse poop. And another kid ran in there and started digging in the horse poop and said, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Both are right. It does stink, and there probably is a pony in there somewhere. One was determined to find it, and the other wanted to hide. So every situation is like that. Your stance, your beingness, how you're being, how you believe the world works, is everything. It's not a nice to have. It is everything. You can create victory in every situation if you choose to. You and I, we don't control the weather. We don't control the economy. We don't control the warmongers. We don't control the betrayal of other people. We don't control abuse that someone does to someone else. We don't control all those things around us. The one thing that we have 100% control of, which is how we choose to live, what we choose to think, how we say, our attitude, we usually give that away. The one thing we control, we give it away. And we live at the mercy of all those externalities, external events. Why? You don't control those anyway, and you know it. And then you give away your right to choose how you react. That's a whole episode by itself. But the way I summarize it is, I am at cause. I create my being and call into existence every part of my experience. Doesn't matter what's happening. I choose how I experience that. And that might sound like some Pollyanna gibberish to you, but it's not. It's the most powerful truth in the world. And it's a huge key to creating your ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy. Question number 9. Why do I always run out of time and energy? Well, this isn't very complicated. Time ticks the same for every single person. You have all the time there is. So do I. We all do. We all have all the time there is. Why we run out is we misallocate it. We say yes to too many things. We waste some, or not even waste. We choose to use it in ways that don't further our goals. You know, binge watching television or Facebook scrolling or whatever it is. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of those things, but if it's getting in the way of goals you want, then you say, oh, I have no time. Well, okay. Like when people tell me in my coaching work, right, I'll ask people what's important. And they'll tell me their goals. And are that really important to you? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. All right. Well, then here's what we need to do. Da-da. Oh, I can't do that. And then I'll say, I thought you said it was important. Well, it is. And then here's what I say. All right. Well, give me your bank account and your calendar, and I'll tell you what you believe is important. And that is assuming, of course, that the calendar accurately reflects exactly what they do with their time, and the bank account reflects exactly where they spend their money. The only resources we have are time and choice, and then we accumulate energy in the form of money. That's all we have, time, energy, and choice. So wherever you're putting your time and your money, your energy, your attention. That's what's important to you. I don't care what else you say. So when someone says, I have no time, give me your calendar, give me your bank account, and we'll see what's important to you. The energy piece goes back to the morning ritual. If you care for your spirit and you care for your body and you take time to do the things we talked about in the morning ritual, you'll have more energy than you do now, and it will surprise you what you can do. That's like I said in the beginning. You're a superhero behind a mask, but you might be living as a victim. You might be living blaming this, that, and the other, all that out there. It's a habit. We all do it until we don't. We all do it until we learn, it's my life, my stuff, my choice. I refuse to give away my sovereign control. I'm going to hold on to that fiercely and furiously. It's mine today, tomorrow, forever. Throw in forgiveness when we make mistakes. Let the baggage go. Claim your sovereign right to decide what you do with your time, your energy, your love, your money, and then you can create anything you want. Last question. I hear this a lot. Can somebody really help me? Or can somebody really help me? Two ways to say the same thing. Can somebody really help me? Meaning, I've tried all these other things and they don't work. In other words, is there real help available? The answer is absolutely. If and only if you're willing to do the work. If you're trying to stay as you are and do the same things you've been doing, get a different result, you're insane. I didn't make that up. Somebody smarter than me did, right? Credited to Einstein. So can somebody really help you? Yeah, you can. And a good coach can. Having a good coach has been one of the most powerful things in my life. It's helped me make more money faster, better than anything else I've done. Seriously. And that includes when I had big executive positions and everything. So yes, somebody really can help, but not unless you're willing to do the work. Now, the other way to ask that question is, can somebody really help me? That is with the idea that somehow you are so different that all these things we've talked about don't apply to you. All these things, yeah, they might work for somebody else, but not for me. I'm different. Well, you know what? Two parts. One, you are different. You're 100% totally, absolutely unique. Your genetic makeup is unique. Your set of experience in life are very unique. Your skills are unique. The gifts that you naturally have are unique. And if you combine unique to the third power, I mean, you're wild ass unique, completely different. So yes, you're unique. And yes, all of the things that we have talked about apply 100% dead on bullseye to you. You can argue with it, you can fight about it, in which case they'll be worth nothing, a plug nickel. Or you can say, you know what? I'm tired of giving away control of my life. From this moment on, I write the script. So those are the 10 questions that I picked out of many, many that I get. And I get them often enough that those were just, they just jumped out at me and said we should talk about them today. I want to circle back around to where we started. I want to help you. I want to serve you, help you see and understand who you really are, a divine, infinite, capable, powerful being with skills and gifts that are incomprehensibly amazing. And you think I might be blowing smoke, but I'm not. That is truth. You can ignore it. You can pretend it's not true. You cannot take advantage of it. That's like leaving a pirate chest in the front yard full of gold. I don't know. I'm not going to take that. You're a pirate chest full of gold. Are you willing to open the lid? Are you willing to grab the coins? Are you willing to cash in on your talents, your gifts, your authenticity, your life experience, the stuff that makes you unique? That uniqueness we were just talking about is your ticket to freedom. When I help clients build that purpose out of that triple helix, your existing skills, your gifts, natural gifts, your life experience, you can build a presence, a product, a service, a lifestyle, and a life of service, of joy, and create any kind of impact and income that you want. That is why I'm here to help. That's all I do. And I use the word purpose, prosperity, and joy for my definition. I hope you hear this and dive in. See what it can do for you. Because I know if you do, you can move fast and furiously down the road in creating your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.